The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon.
Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Market View Wrap on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero, joined in the studio by finance presenter JP Ong and on the phone by Jeff Howie, market strategist at the SGX. It has been a very interesting week, a little bit up, a little bit down, actually on some days a little more down than up. But today, to end the week, we are up 0.13% to 3,128 points. We started in the green. We're staying in the green today. I have decided, JP.
Let's see if the markets listen to you and if they actually hold on to some of these slight gains that we're talking about. But still, it's a good sight to see the Straits Times Index up by about 4 points, roughly. 3,128 is the level where they're sitting at. And 542 million Singapore dollars in total trades changing hands. So appetites, once again, looking fairly par for the course. More winners than losers, but the gap fairly thin, actually. 226 stocks, REITs and trusts that are in the green. 204 that are in the red. And the STI is standing out on another mixed session across the region. We are seeing today that there's a bit of a divergence between how both Japanese and Australian stocks are doing against the rest of the Asia Pacific. The Nikkei 225, for what is up by about 0.2% in today's session. And we have the ASX 200 also doing quite well, up gaining by about 0.5%. But that's where the buck stops for the most part. We are seeing the South Korean KOSPI trading about 2 points in the red. The TAIEX in Taipei also trading with gains of about 14 points. But take a look at mainland Chinese stocks today. Shanghai and Shenzhen both reeling from 1.7% and 1.9% intraday losses. Seems that equities on the mainland are taking it on the chin so far this session. And the Hang Seng also returning from their holiday. I'm just pulling up the Hong Kong Exchange website here. Yep, they have returned from their the Thursday break, and they find themselves down by a painful 468 points. The Hang Seng Index falling to 28,359. We are at the end of this week and the second day of the second half also. And markets just really parsing through a lot of the jobs data coming from the United States. Now, we did see Wall Street last night, and just checking out on how they did, actually record decent gains. Jobless claims fell by more than what was expected, actually. And thus also hinting that the economic recovery in the United States might still be gaining steam. There is some concerns, though, about COVID-19 cases, especially if the Delta variant continuing to rise in Asia, but also concerns in the U.S. that they might actually see an uptick in cases out there because of the Delta variant being spread. Dr. Anthony Fauci of the National Institute of Allergies and Infectious Diseases did say that this might expose two different Americas, and saying that there could be some these areas with low vaccination rates that might see cases resume once again and pressure some of their public health systems. But we are seeing that so far markets here are reacting in mixed fashion, everyone going about their own way. And so far, the Straits Times Index just choosing to follow the lead of the Nikkei 225 and the ASX 200 and holding on to these gains of about 4 points here in Singapore.
We bring Jeff Howie into the conversation. Yesterday was the 100th anniversary of the Communist Party. All eyes were on China. And with some of the rhetoric being, you know, a bit firm from President Xi Jinping, I'm actually surprised that across the region, with the potential exception of China markets, everyone's in the green.
Yeah, exactly. Very mixed all across the week. And I think Singapore has been able to just hold gains. I think we have that 0.13% gain you touted before, I think, to 0.065% gain for the week. So all up, it's been really quiet. But going beyond just that benchmark return, when you look at the STI's course of the week, it's definitely been a lot more vibrant than it was the preceding week. Last week when we were talking on this weekly wrap, we were mentioning that the STI had just generated a very narrow 40-point trading range between its high and the low last week. But this week, it's seen a much more vibrant traded range, around 60-point difference between the Tuesday low and the Thursday high. And since that opening bell on Monday, you've got quite a range of mixed performances. So Fraser Logistics and Commercial Trust, as well as Yangtze Jiang and Venture, have led the STI stocks on the upside, averaging around 2.5% gains over the 4.5 sessions. And then on the other side, you've got Gunting Singapore, City Developments and Thai Beverage, averaging 3% decline. So it's quite a mixed bag, if you will. But looking not just in Singapore, but across the world, technology has easily been the strongest segment in the global stock market this week. And that's namely in the advanced manufacturing and the semiconductor stocks, much more than the downstream digital economy plays. And these stocks, I know quite a few market commentators talk about technology valuations and so forth. And just to be clear, that the world's largest big global internet stocks, they do trade at PE ratios that are around 60 to 70 times, and that's more than double the 30-time PE ratios that the world's biggest semiconductor stocks trade at. So very different industries, per se, in the one big mega sector of technology. But what it is this recent resilience of advanced manufacturing and semiconductor stocks, as I said, across the world, has really been observed at home here. You've got Venture, AEM Holdings, UMS Holdings, among the top five recipients of net institutional inflows from the 25th of June through to the 1st of July. And then Nanofilm and ISDN Holdings have also been among the top 10 recipients of net institutional inflows over those five sessions. And pretty much since the day Singapore announced these heightened measures to contain COVID-19, back on the 14th of May, AEM Holdings, UMS and Nanofilm, they have generated very symmetric returns of, I think, 15%, 16% and 15% respectively. And then you've got ISDN Holdings really outpacing the trio with a 26% gain over that period. And that's after this company, which is really an engineering solution provider, announced this global strategic partnership with WizPace to deliver these wide area Industry 4 and Internet of Things solutions globally. And this WizPace, of course, is that communication solution company that's a spin-off from our national research organisation, ASTAR. So, yeah, a lot happening there. And I think back to the China focus, we can do that through the context of ISDN, because it was interesting, for its 30th of April AGM, ISDN did release the Q&A, which investors can read on the company announcement pages. And it did mention on the regional supply and the value chain creation outlook, it is seeing the benefit of China's broad ramp in semiconductor capital expenditure. ISDN, it maintained that the geopolitical industry competition and, I guess, the global trade tensions, they have diverted trade and supply chains and capital all to Southeast, well, not all to, but a lot to Southeast Asia, with the trade tensions really accelerating China's industrial push towards industry for automation. And it believes that China is seeking to avoid competing with the Southeast Asia area on the cost and instead looking to push up the value chain into the advanced industry. So, and at the same time, ISDN believe that China's technology ecosystem is looking to reduce its reliance, obviously, on the US and European technology in favor of Asia-centric suppliers. So pushing up the value chain, there's a pretty neat paper by an NUS professor, Mr. Goh, back in 2018. He noted that moving up this value chain, it really involves developing new products and services and creating new value propositions, that if China is pushing up the value chain, it does impact the entire broader chain. And of course, I should just point out that Industry 4 is, of course, that commonly used term to capture the impact of digital transformation in both manufacturing and those related production industries. And also one more thing, that this ISDN company that we're talking about, it does go ex-dividend on Tuesday. But you know, this is important for Singapore too. The EDB has highlighted we are embracing Industry 4 and we are moving our industrial base up the value chain to, you know, really strengthen our position as a leading industrial hub for companies, not just regionally, but globally.
One of the things that I got, one of my takeaways from everything that was said in China yesterday is they are certainly going big guns into more sustainable mobility as well.
Yeah, 100%. And that's there's another company that we've got with a corporate action next week, Leader Environmental Tech. It goes X-Right on Thursday on the 8th of July, and that company last year really underwent this high level strategic review, has reorganized its group structure, and really pushing to engage, invest, and partake in this new environmental related businesses. In respect of sludge treatments, industrial wastewater, production of high performance membrane, and green tech investments. So there's in terms of the moving green as well as embracing with environmental technologies. Leader Environmental Tech is just one example of a number of companies we have listed here that, you know, basically involved in that segment, because it is a really important segment for China, as the leaders, policymakers have said for many years.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, just bringing our focus back to Singapore right now, and there is one stock that's really caught my eye over the last couple of weeks, and that is Keppel DC REIT. If I'm not mistaken, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, in the first half they were probably one of the laggards actually on the entire STI, and you know they are coming off of that very impressive 2020, but really since the 5th of February, we've actually seen some of their shares start to erode. Do you think this is just like a rotation away from Keppel DC REIT, given how strong they actually performed over the last couple of months? And maybe it's just a sign of investors just trying to look elsewhere, given it's probably as good as it's getting for them.
Yeah, switching and rotation. Stock switching, you know, switching mm-hmm. from, you know, the stocks that...
The high
have,
flyers.
Yeah, exactly. But there's a lot of it. In fact, it's quite vibrant, that activity, that the rotation among the stocks. And you're right. Keppel DC REIT was the least performing constituent of the STI last half, the first half of 2021. And that's after it was the second strongest stock for the STI in 2020 after Semcorp Industries. And interesting too, the combined net institutional net proprietary outflows for the stock, it amounted to 4% of the stock's current market cap. And, you know, you got to keep in mind though, it was a 10% negative total return in the first half of 2021. That followed, as you mentioned, a strong performance in 2020. It was a 38% total return in 2020. And then in 2019, it generated a 66% total return, and that really helped propel the stock into the STI in the first place. Now, the company has noted that while the digital economy has continued to grow, the progress towards social and economic normalization that we are seeing globally has obviously put less demands on cloud digital services and online services and so forth. So, Keppel DC REIT was the least performer, and then on the flip side, you've got Yangzijang Shipbuilding, which was the strongest performer of the STI in the first half, and that was actually recipient to 4%, how would I phrase this? It was recipient to combined net institutional and net proprietary inflows of 4% of its current market cap, the converse to what we saw with Keppel DC REIT.
I mean, can you believe that the Yangzijang Shipbuilding inked 100 orders to build 100 vessels or ships just in the first 6 months of this year, Jeff? I mean, that has to be a fairly remarkable indicator of just how strong the rebound is out in China and for the shipping and storage sectors.
Yeah, and with the majority of those orders container ships, these 100 vessels, I think it's worth around $5.5 billion, which does represent its largest order wins based on total contract value in the entire history of the group. And you can trace the history of this group back to the 1950s.
Mm-hmm. All right. So tonight we're looking at some important figures. Are we getting any indication of what those figures might be looking like?
Yeah, I mean, we start off, two key figures for the Singapore investors tonight. The first at 8:30 p.m., JP, if I'm not wrong, is, if I'm not right.
I will never challenge your authority there, sir. I believe it's around 8:30 to 9, somewhere in that half hour. But yeah, you're pretty much in the ballpark, sir.
U.S. non-farm payrolls, they're expected to show jobs growth of around 600,000 to 700,000 jobs, and the unemployment rate expected to decline from 5.8% to 5.6%. And here at home, obviously, we have our June PMI published by the SIPMM, and that's expected to come, I think, in a similar level to May's 50.7 print, and therefore record 12 months of continued expansion. The electronics sector, it's expected to post, I guess, an 11th month of expansion, but keep in mind in May that electronics PMI print was 50.4. So it's significantly closer to that 50 threshold of expansion to contraction, significantly closer to where the gauge was at the end of 2020 when it was at 51.2. So hence the sub-indices of new orders, the new exports and the output obviously will be closely watched and compared and contrast against views on the region and what the resurgence might bring in the COVID-19.
And after the release of the numbers, we'll all have the weekend to basically assimilate it and pass through it. And on Monday, on Markets View, Jeff will be joining us alongside Ven Srinivasan, Associate Editor from The Straits Times, to take a closer look at what it might mean for the next week or months of trading. This has been Market View Wrap. I'm Clarissa Montero, joined in the studio by finance presenter JP Ong and on the phone by Jeff Howie, market strategist from the SGX. You're on Money FM 89.3.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.